of Cthulhu presents Terror from the Skies by Colin Hart. Introduction.
So we'll go ahead and get started. We got everyone who's going to be here. This is, of course, Terror from the Skies, which was published, what, last year, I think? What does this say? 2012, yeah. Mm-hmm. So fairly new. Normally, when I'm running a game, I would not do this, but I'm going to make a few comments ahead of time, just to warn everyone. You're going to hear me complain about this thing constantly.
Excellent.
Not okay. To jump into a review of the book, but it is. I have concerns about the writing, and the editing of this thing is even worse. You can look forward to that.
Hint, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. Despite that, there is a pretty good story here. I think it'll be okay, but just bear with me as things kind of go. When things go south, I will kind of warn everyone ahead of time. This is very much a traditional sort of investigative scenario, where something happens and it's just assumed that everyone is just going to want to rush off and do the kind of standard investigative things. With one exception that I think is a little interesting, and that is that compared to a lot of other scenarios, the interpersonal interactions, by which I mean between the players and the NPCs, are of much more importance than they might normally be. So what I want to do in order to kind of, push the ability for players who might not otherwise be interested to run off and start investigating some strange activity, in order to give them an excuse to do that, if all four of you could roll for me a d10, please.
Okay. 2.
10.
Sorry, I'm doing this.
6. That's a knee.
Okay. Whatever you rolled, you may give yourself that many points of Cthulhu Mythos.
Oh, wow. I got a 7. wait, what?
Yay, free Mythos.
Yes.
Okay.
We've all had a rough childhood.
Yes, so that, you can...
I saw things on the trenches, man.
Yep.
Some things...
However you want to interpret that in your backstory is up to you. I don't really care, but at some point in everyone's backstory, you've encountered, you've seen, you've done whatever. So there it is.
Holy crap. Well, that definitely makes my character a lot different than I thought it was going to be.
And we're just getting started.
Awesome.
You're feeling like a 17-year-old dilettante or something.
No, more like a hardened semi-alcoholic war hero.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we start, everyone has been invited to the wedding of Miss Abby Barker and Mr. Isaac Martin, which is taking place in a small English village called Shelburgh, which is in the north. Mm. You all have your different reasons for coming. We'll get to those in a minute. But basically, the way this is going to start is that you've all been in contact with Miss Barker, and she has asked you all to meet her uncle, Colonel Andrew Barker.
Just going to change that. I changed myself to a major.
Oh, okay. Sorry, her uncle, right. Major Andrew Barker. at King's Cross Station in London, and he'll kind of shepherd everyone through the various train changes and so forth that are required to get to Shelburgh. It's not a direct route. So you've all been kind of given a name and a general description. So we will start out So, Major Barker, you are, of course, waiting at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And we will say that you can see coming towards you, there is a young woman pushing a man of indeterminate description in a wheelchair, but he looks quite sick. You know, he's kind of leaning over. He looks like he's asleep. He's got the blanket wrapped around him and so forth. And the woman pushes her wheelchair, you know, very, very obviously coming towards you and introduces herself as Miss Henrietta Brown.
Major Barker, is this you?
Yes. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Good morning. I'm Henrietta Brown, and this is Professor Cromworth. I'm the professor's assistant.
Is Professor Cromworth one of us?
Professor Gary. It's Gary.
It's Gary. Okay. Yeah. trying to write this down. Yeah.
Yep.
Ah, so nice to finally meet you. Yes, my niece has told me all about you. She hasn't, but I'll say
that's
that.
Because I was about to say how very odd. Yes, I've just been fortunate enough to be hired by the professors. He's come over to England to do some research.
Is he okay? He doesn't look too good.
He needs a lot of sleep.
Oh dear. Well, I'm sure we'll be able to make suitable accommodations once we get to the family home.
Major Barker, you would know that Professor Cromworth is a friend of your brother's.
Friend of the brother, okay.
In other words, he's a friend of Miss Barker's father.
Sure, mm-hmm. Okay.
So as you two are standing there talking, another gentleman walks up of indeterminate description and introduces himself as Mr. Harrow.
Greetings, gentlemen.
And lady.
And lady. Well. Ma'am, gentlemen.
Good morning. Is it morning?
It is morning, yes.
It is now. Who is this with Mr. Harrow?
Mr. Harrow is by himself.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. Who's playing?
Frank.
Is Frank? Okay.
Yes. Captain Bruce Harrow from the U.S. Marines. Pleasure to meet you all.
Oh, another military man. Major Andrew Barker.
It's an honor, sir.
What brings you over to sunny England?
Well, I was in the country doing some business when I happened to receive a telegram about my relative getting married. So, while in the country, why not just stop by and join the festivities, I guess?
Oh, and are you related to the groom or the bride?
The bride. So I guess it's very fortuitous we're all here gathered in the same place.
Yes. Yes, I think it will be quite fun.
Do you already have accommodation? Because I have not been able to prepare anything for myself. I was maybe looking for any tips on any good hostels or guest houses in the area.
In your communication with Miss Barker, she has everything arranged for everyone.
Oh, right. Okay. Fine.
And finally, one more gentleman walks up and introduces himself as Mr. McTavish.
Greetings, gentlemen. Miss, how are you today?
Good morning.
Are we off to the wedding together, I see?
Yes, what was your name again, please?
Well, my name's Finbar, but most people just call me Finn.
Finn, okay. Pleasure to meet you.
Good to meet you, too. And you guys see, he just kind of has his little notepad in his hand, and he's kind of, every once in a while, just writes stuff down.
Journalist, I presume?
Author. Maybe you've heard of my novels.
Everyone can make a no roll at half.
I write the Galen Barrett novels. You know, he's there.
That is a fail.
I'm sure they're very interesting.
quite. You see, he's just a little bit aloof, kind of like half listening, half looking around, kind of just taking everything in. With an Irish accent. Unfortunately, I cannot do an Irish accent.
Okay.
So, Mr. McTavish, Major Barker, nice to meet you. How did you actually know the happy couple?
Abby is my second cousin.
It's another member of the family I hadn't met before today. How interesting.
Yes, Grandma, Grandpa were busy.
They certainly were.
You know how family reunions are. If there's good wine, a lot of people will gather.
Indeed.
Speaking of the wedding, I probably should have mentioned this before. And I will point out that I will also, just kind of as a little preview, the days and the dates in this campaign make a difference. It is currently June 4th, 1929.
Okay.
All right.
And the wedding date is June 11th, 7 days from today.
Well, we have a lot of time to get to know one another.
Before the markets crash.
Right.
Yes. Well.
Well, gentlemen and ladies, I have your train tickets here. Shall we alight?
You do know, by the way, Major Barker, you are waiting for one other person.
Are we? Oh, okay. Yes, you are. I thought this was everyone.
Nope, you are waiting for one other person. However, and it's June 4th is a Tuesday, by the way. I had to just look it up. However, as the train whistles and the conductor calls all aboard, you see that person has not, no one else has made themselves known to you. So, whether they've missed you or whether they've just not bothered to show up or, what's happened to them.
Do I know the name of the other person I'm supposed to meet?
You do. Let us say that Major Barker does, but yes. I do not.
I'm assuming this is Randall's character yes. we're talking about.
Yes. You assume correctly.
Okay. Currently, Mr. X.
Do you gentlemen be willing to lift Professor Cromworth into the train?
I'm sure we can get a train guard to do that. No need to. I'll motion for someone to come over and help us.
I'll sort of tuck at the blanket.
I try and help out as much as I can out of respect for higher up.
Yeah, I would see if I can help with anyone else's bags that are helping him.
Well, there's certainly some luggage of Miss Brown's that would need to be moved in somehow.
Can huff those on up there.
Okay, so everyone manages to board the train successfully. As the train starts to roll out of the station, Major Barker, obviously you notice, whoever you were waiting for still has not made themselves known to you. So.
Well.
Is there anything in particular anyone wanted to do during the train journey or talk about? Or we can just fast forward that if we don't.
I would certainly like to make some subtle inquiries and visuals to see who seems to be wealthy or have wealthy family members and get a sense of the Barker family condition.
I'm sorry, Edwin, what was your character's name again?
Henrietta Brown.
Oh, Henrietta Brown. Indeed.
Just sounded very gold diggerish.
Jim, how is that actually written in the scenario? Is it because I rolled up Major Barker and got a 9 when I did the income roll. I don't know if that would conflict with
No.
Okay, so it can be a wealthy family.
Yep.
I didn't quite do an income. I didn't remember.
It's not a particular. The Barker family generally is not a particularly wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
Solidly. Solidly early 20th century middle class.
Okay.
But Major Barker has done well in the stock market so far.
Seems
clearly
so.
Clearly I've made some wise investments, yes.
For now.
Well, and with Major Barker's overseas contacts and that sort of thing.
managed so to...
move some product and do some trades here and there. You know, who knows? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what sort of ages? Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to describe my character for everyone because probably easier that way. But Major Barker's in his late 40s, and he's a rather tall, strong-looking man. Relatively, you wouldn't say he's particularly attractive or particularly unattractive. Seems to be rather well educated. But he does seem to have some kind of sickness or some kind of chronic lung condition. He coughs every now and again.
Ooh, a perfect that's wealthy and dying.
So, yes, otherwise rather well-dressed. All right. That's probably all we can tell just from looking at him.
Well, I guess Finn looks... he looks to be about... mid-30s, not too overly strong or big, but pretty well-dressed, if a little bit unkempt, kind of absent-minded looking. Clean-shaven, with dark features. And, yeah.
And have the novels done well?
He'd like to think so.
Well.
They've been,
Do they pay well?
They pay... enough for him to keep a small small apartment in Dublin, but he tells you guys that he mostly travels around looking for inspiration.
Okay.
Well, Bruce is slightly on the tall side individual, dark hair, mustache, quite young looking, though badly aged at the same time. It's kind of like you know that he cannot be that old, but he does look a little bit beat down. Kind of like life hasn't really been all that great. He wears a modest suit with a very, very lofty trench coat, military trench coat. Anybody that would have been in World War One would identify it as the trademark trench coat. He doesn't, during the train ride, he really doesn't make much of a conversation except for small talk and such, but all that he's willing to let know about himself is that he fought through the entire war, and after that, just lived a quiet life.
Basically retired?
Yeah, quiet life.
Okay.
Anybody that has seen Boardwalk Empire, he looks like Richard Harrow, but with all the face.
Fair enough.
Okay, so, yeah.
Well, Henrietta Brown is a... late 20s, very attractive woman with a dark, wavy bob hairdo. Fairly thin, cheerful. And she, you probably, given a few hours on the train, see some rough edges here and there. But she's sure trying to fit in with all these upper crust folks. And apparently her boss, Professor Cromworth, is very sleepy today, and she'll make some apologetic noises, but does not appear overly concerned about him at this point.
I'm sure he'll be fine. So the train from London, for those of you who are, sticklers for your English geography, makes its way to Tunbridge. At Tunbridge, you have to change trains to another line going to Ashford. And at Ashford, you have to change to a local service going to Rye. Shelburgh is not on the train line, is not on the line. You have been instructed, Major Barker has been instructed to get everyone off at Appledore, as that is the closest station to Shelburgh. As you disembark at Appledore, would everyone give me a spot hidden roll, please?
success nicely. Yes.
Okay. Sorry, if somebody can remind me. I just rolled 100. I got 67.
You rolled 100. You rolled a 67.
Yes.
Okay, you didn't roll 100.
Oh, okay.
That's too bad, because that'd be fun.
Yeah. Okay. So is that under your spot hidden skill?
No.
Okay, so that's a failure.
What? Okay.
I failed as well by 5.
Major Barker and Miss Brown passed?
No, Miss Brown failed too.
Okay. But Major Barker passed.
He did, yes.
Okay. Major Barker, as you're coming off the train, a small poster on the wall, you know, it's just kind of small off to the side. It's not, you know, anything big or obvious, which is why the rest of them, you know, who are just kind of looking around, apparently didn't notice it. But it is advertising that this station, and apparently every station on this local line from Rye to Appledore, will be celebrating this particular branch line's 50th anniversary next year, 1930, and is having a best kept station competition.
Okay.
That sounds depressing.
I will not quite know what to make of that and carry on.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No problem. As you come out of the station, parked on the street next to the station is a, you know, kind of a large town car. Standing next to the town car is a very tall, very thin, and when I say very tall, I mean size 17 tall, so very tall. Mm. You know, kind of gawky, gangly, bony-looking young woman in a, you know, kind of fashionable dress, who at the very least Major Barker will recognize as his niece Abby. And she runs up and, Uncle Andy, so glad you made it.
Oh, so nice to see you. And how are you doing with all the preparations?
Oh, there's just so much to do, and thank you all for coming so early. And she kind of, you know, introduces herself around. You know, probably not everyone has met her. Certainly, Miss Brown has never met her before. I think Professor Cromworth, she's probably met Professor Cromworth before, but we'll say that Mr. Harrow and Mr. McTavish have not actually met Miss Barker before. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for coming. There's just so much to do and so many preparations to make, and I really appreciate you all coming early to help out with the wedding.
Anything we can do to help.
She invites you to get in the car. She says, she mentions that she hired this car to drive to Shelburne. She's the one driving it. It's just a rental car.
Do we all fit?
It's a big car. with a large boot for the
just as well
Professor Cromworth's wheelchair and everyone's baggage.
Jesus,
might have to tie a few things to the top, but
yeah, laps might have to be sat on.
I'll tie the luggage up to the top of the hood. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm carrying around a big ass trunk, so it's. Yeah.
Fair enough. Shuffling luggage around at this point is not really a concern, so we'll say that it's not going to be a problem. So she invites you all to get in the car. Oh, it's a bit of a drive, but not too long to get to Shelburne. But oh, it's just so beautiful. We're so happy living here.
Very nice. Can't wait to see it.
So she starts up the car, drives out of Appledore. As you get out of Appledore, you can see that Appledore, and you can kind of see off in the distance, there are a number of other villages, small villages, that are situated on the border of a large marsh. And Abby will tell you that this is called Walland Marsh. The countryside generally is very flat, you know, just wide open space, and most of it is quite marshy. And all the villages that you can see, and there will be, you know, a couple that you kind of drive through, are very just kind of small, isolated, you know, cute little villages. It takes about a half hour, 40 minutes, something like this, as you roll up to one village in particular, and Abby announces that this is it. This is Shelbra. Our house is just down around the corner here. We have plenty of room, so everyone can stay here. That won't be a problem.
Oh, lovely. It's very nice.
Certainly looks peaceful.
Oh, it is. It's so quiet out here. So wonderful. As she pulls up to the house, you can see it. You know, it's a large, you know, kind of old farmhouse kind of thing. All right, let me take care of that wind there. As she drives up to the house, a young man comes out of the house, and he is a mid-sized fellow. He has kind of an intelligent look about him, but he looks a little awkward, kind of clumsy, a little unstable, sort of. Oh, Isaac, please come help everyone with their bags. And the young man, you know, kind of rushes out and introduces himself as Mr. Isaac Martin, who you would all, of course, recognize that is
from the invitation.
Yes, is the young gentleman that Abby is marrying.
Mm. When I shake his hand, I wanna. Like, can you describe, like, what the handshake's like?
It is a bit soft.
Okay.
Make a psychology roll, Frank, or Mr. Harris.
I have no psychology.
Well, you have base psychology.
Oh, okay. I got 5%. There you go.
See? There you go. That's a success.
99! I just got a 99. What the hell?
Oh, that's no good.
That's less successful.
Yeah, you can tell his handshake is a little weak and a little soft, but yeah, you must be a little tired from the train ride, the car, you know, the car journey. Yeah, you don't really get a read on this guy at all.
Soft. All I know is soft handshakes are awful. So that's all I need to know.
Have I met Mr. Martin before?
We will say that you have.
Okay. Parker. Right.
So they invite you into the house. Isaac helps everyone, you know, sort of carry the baggage in. It is a very large old farmhouse. There are plenty of rooms, so everyone is given given an individual room. You kind of see to Professor Cromworth, and he's kind of installed. Just kind of groans a little bit and dump him in bed.
Or get on with the fun stuff.
Went from his morning nap to his afternoon nap.
Exactly. Exactly. It is starting to get on evening. By the time you've gotten here, it's it's dusk, 6:37, something like this. Abby and Isaac invite you to go to the local pub for a drink and some dinner.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I was wondering what you all did in the evenings here.
Yes. Oh, it would be rather enthused at the idea.
I could enjoy a good pint.
Perhaps you can introduce me to some of your friends.
Oh, certainly. Well, I'll introduce you. Be happy to introduce you around here. So they take you to a local pub. Those of you who are English will recognize it as, you know, just your pretty standard little village pub. You know, kind of a quaint little cozy little place. It happens to be called the Marshmen. It is fairly, you know, it's certainly not packed to the rafters, but there is a fairly good crowd here. As you have kind of already identified, there's not really a whole lot to do in Shelbro, so the pub here is kind of the usual evening hangout, and you're all given a table and whatever drinks you would like to have ordered, and
whiskey.
I'll
sit next to Major Barker.
I will order a pint of bitter.
I want A lot of whiskey.
Yes, I'm sure when they bring the bottle, we'll say for them to leave it. We have some getting to know each other.
Dinner is offered.
Of course. What are they serving?
Pub food.
All right. Sounds amazing.
I'd like to make a toast for the lost, that's all.
Everyone.
Yeah, so,
presumably everyone drinks to that.
Yes.
Everyone drinks to that.
Better.
I'll swap war stories with Bruce.
Yes. Those rats eating all our comrades.
Mm.
How long did you serve?
I actually wrote this down. it would help if I could add up. 17 years in the end, but after the damn Hun released the mustard gas, never quite been the same since.
I know exactly what you mean. Too many good men fell to that awful, awful smoke.
Guess I was one of the lucky ones.
Wow. Weren't we all? Weren't we all? Did you lose anybody? Anybody in the war? Anybody dear to you?
Major Buck will just try and ignore the question and turn to someone else.
You must have seen some very exciting places, no? Where did you travel?
The trenches. Believe
Not
me.
You.
What means? Well, say names, goddamn.
You had 17 years. You must have. Were you overseas for part of that?
Yes, in the colonies. Spent some time in Rhodesia.
Ooh.
Even over in the New World.
Interesting.
Bit of time in New Zealand, but.
Oh, that must have been fascinating. It would be wonderful to travel like that.
Yes, well, it was a. We were busy. There wasn't much time for sightseeing.
As you're talking, an older gentleman with some plates of food comes up and starts slipping them around the table. Abby looks up and, "Oh, Arthur, this is my uncle, Major Barker. Major Barker, this is Mr. Eatwell."
Eatwell.
Yes.
Eatwell.
Yes.
Really?
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
He owns the pub here.
Nice to meet you. It's a lovely establishment you have here.
Oh, why? Thank you, Major. Thank you. So you're all here for young Abby's wedding. Very very nice of you to come out.
Oh, of course. Wouldn't think otherwise.
I hope you very much enjoy our nice little town here. Enjoy your stay. If there's anything I can get for you, call on me anytime. It's not a problem. Abby and Isaac, I think they'll make a wonderful couple. Very happy to have them as an addition to the town.
Is Isaac joining us for dinner as well?
Yes, he's there.
Do I know what does my character know what Isaac does for a living?
Let us see.
And can mine find out? And whether he seems charmable?
Oh. I do not particularly know what he does for a living, but based on his skill set, I am going to make an interpretation. He is studying to be, or was studying to be, or something like that. It's a little vague. But I'm going to guess he either has been, or will be, or is studying to be an alienist.
What?
Psychologist. Psychiatrist.
Oh, okay.
I have a bit of knowledge about such things. I will engage him in conversation about his studies.
He seems a little reticent to talk much. You don't make a psychology role.
Okay.
I actually have a good amount of psychology as well.
That would be a success.
Okay. Everyone else can make a psychology roll, too, as you're all kind of sitting around the table.
Okay. Failure.
That's a success with a 17.
Nope.
Okay. So, Major Barker and Mr. McTavish, you get the idea that Isaac He's not being, you know, deliberately evasive. He's not really trying to hide anything. He is just comes across as just kind of a very shy, retiring sort of fellow.
Suspicious.
Well, I'm sure you'd be nervous too. Getting married soon.
Yo, ball and chain.
He just kind of chuckles at the ball and chain comment. No, I'm Abby's a wonderful girl. I'm very lucky. I'm a very lucky man.
Give her a couple of years.
Abby just kind of chuckles at that too. Nervous laughter.
These men.
I just keep on drinking.
So Miss Brown, you're not married?
No, I haven't found Mr. Wright yet.
Oh, well, I certainly hope you do someday. It's such a wonderful feeling to be in love.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm must be great. I'm quite jealous. That's marvelous.
I will stab you later.
Bluff check.
So the evening continues like this.
Any other interesting-looking people in the pub, or just
locals?
Normal local-looking people?
Normal local
fighters over in the corner with battle axes.
Yeah.
Yes, when a man comes up to offer you a job, no. No, that doesn't happen. So the evening continues for a couple hours. Abby kind of starts yawning and says, are you ready to go home, dear? It is getting rather late. Perhaps we should turn in. We have a lot of preparations to make in the morning and the next few days. Oh, yes, we need to go, we need to go buy the honey and, perhaps take a walk in the marsh. Isaac, I think we should head it. We should head home and turn in soon.
Have there been activities arranged for us that we know about?
Tomorrow afternoon, we can all go for a walk through the marsh. There's some nice trails, and it's just such a lovely place. All the birds and
is everything that has to do about this place walking in marshes?
Well, it is marshland, Bruce. That's part of the charm. It is a little wet and muddy at times, but you slog through it, and
I know all full well about mud and wetness. Believe me, I had too much of that. The trenches.
Oh, so you'll be staying behind, huh? Sounds like a lovely walk.
Why am I here? I'm kind of drunk.
Oh, it'll be fine. I give him a little nudge.
Isaac gets up and gives his arm to Abby. And are you coming back now? We can leave the house unlocked if you gentlemen would like to come back. And Miss Brown, if you'd like to join us or stay with the men, or
we'll staying at the house. Is that where?
Yes. Yeah. You all have rooms at the house.
I will stand up and say goodnight to everyone else and accompany the young couple back.
I will as well.
I will stay behind. I'm not done with this bottle.
Okay.
I would stay behind with him and kind of hang out, listen to some of his war stories if he has any.
Oh, trust me, son.
Okay. So we will go with the group headed home. So Major Barker, Miss Brown, Abby, and Isaac make your way back to the house. Mm-hmm. Basically, Abby and Isaac wish you good night. And you can identify they are staying in separate rooms at the moment.
In
case that was a concern for
us. As is tradition.
Yes.
It's for at least a few nights right before the wedding. It's important.
Yeah. So they wish you a good night, and they each kind of individually head off to their rooms.
What does the house look like? How is it set out?
It is a large two-story farmhouse.
Okay.
All of the sleeping rooms are on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And on the ground floor, there's a large kitchen, a dining area, a parlor, things of this nature.
Well, I will head up to my room and read my book for a bit and then get a good night's sleep.
Okay. And Mr. Well, Brown?
I will. Are there servants and stuff about, or is the household pretty much gone to sleep?
There are no servants at all.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, I will take this opportunity to explore the parlor, and perhaps there's a study somewhere.
Okay.
Are you
looking for anything in particular, or just looking at pictures and?
Well, I would primarily
books on the shelf and.
I'd be looking, but I feel like I would be interested primarily in perhaps letters, anything where I can see some connections to other people to try to get a picture of how the Barkers sit in the community and in a larger community, see what connections they might have, see if I find any banking type stuff if I wander into the office, sort of trying to get a feel for their position in society and their money levels and so forth.
Okay. First of all, make are you trying to be surreptitious about this, or?
I would like to not have anyone notice the following morning that the stuff has been gone through.
Okay.
And I will not be. I try not to wake up the people upstairs, definitely.
Okay. First of all, make a sneak roll.
Okay. That is a success.
Okay. Yeah, so you're able to move around the house fairly quietly, no problems. Make a spot hidden roll.
Okay. That is also a success.
Okay. You in your kind of browsing and meandering and musing, you're able to find some pictures of family members, including a picture of some pictures of a younger Major Barker.
Oh, okay.
As well as some various other Barker family members, and a few letters here and there. You don't really find anything that's really strikes your fancy as, ooh, this is.
They haven't met. I don't have a photograph of them with the king or anything like that.
No, they strike you as just a common, average, everyday, middle class English family.
Any idea of what the business is? What they've, where their money is from? What they have of it?
No.
Okay. And did I find an office or just the sort of parlor, the common area?
Yeah, you will have found an office as well.
And does it seem so? Who owns the house? Who's the sort of the? Is it Abby or is it her parents or?
Abby and Isaac have purchased the house together.
Oh dear. Okay. Okay, so it would be their office, basically.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Yeah. This isn't. This is not. Some ancestral Barker home or something like
right.
this. This is.
Okay.
In fact, you kind of get the idea. You can kind of tell in your searching that they have not. They have very clearly not been here that long. There's kind of a combination of old furnishings that look like heirlooms and new furnishings that have been purchased just to kind of fill out the space and that sort of thing. And there's some obvious kind of open spots that have not been fully decorated yet. And, you just kind of get that feeling that they're still settled. They've definitely moved in. There's not like stacks of boxes and things like that.
Right. They haven't finished.
But they're still settling in. They have not been here for that long.
And what is the library book collection like?
It is a selection of standard everyday fare. Dickens and Bronte and books like this. Make another spot hidden roll.
Okay. Ooh, nope.
Okay.
Don't find the occult books. Okay. So mostly fiction and nothing very. Okay.
You know, some popular psychology, you know, Freud, Jung, that sort of thing. But nothing that really jumps out at you as anything strange or out of place. Or...
Okay, well, after an hour of that, I will make myself some tea in the kitchen and head up to bed.
Okay. We will return to the pub where Mr. Harrow and Mr. McTavish are doing whatever it is that they are doing.
I'm just telling him about how I slit a German's throat and watched him die right in front of me.
I'm just eating all this up and kind of taking a whole bunch of notes in my little notebook. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is great. I love it.
Yeah, how sometimes men would have dogs, and when the rations didn't come in time, you would have to eat your dog. How slow and painful mustard gas death can be. How some people would have to have their feet chopped off because they would literally rot away because of the constant dampness. How the coat I'm wearing saved me many, many times from horrible pneumonia deaths.
Oh, it's horrible, horrible, but great. But great. This is great stuff. This is great stuff.
I keep on drinking until I'm very, very close to a point of no return. But I keep myself right at the edge. I've been drinking for a very, very long time. My liver knows what it's doing.
Your drinking skill is 90 plus?
Yeah. It's over 9,000.
So how long are you guys going to stay in the bar?
As long as he'll listen to me.
I would say only probably another 2 hours or so, and then head back once we're nicely sauced.
I'm forcing you to drink with me. This is not like you taking notes.
No, Finn is Irish. He will be drinking there right with you.
He's awesome, awesome.
Embracing the liquid diet.
I'll let you know. A match made in heaven. May get married soon.
Double wedding.
Well, I let him know in some of my ramblings that I have many, many friends in Ireland, that that I've been talking with some Irish people not long ago, and that I am of Irish descent.
Very good.
Okay, it'll be around midnight then that the two of you stumble back to the house. It is quiet when you get there.
All right. Try and make our way up to our respective rooms somewhat quietly.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm too sauce to not make noise.
Major Barker and Miss Brown, make a listen roll. Make listen rolls.
Oh, yeah. No problem hearing them.
Yeah, you can hear the door kind of slamming a little bit, and you know, heavy footsteps, some shuffling.
Be quiet! They're sleeping.
You be quiet.
Trenches.
Bloody Americans and Irish! Who invited them?
You don't know what quiet is.
I know it's not you right now.
But eventually, you two managed to find your beds, your rooms, and collapse asleep.
Wouldn't it be awesome if I found somebody else's bed?
Oh,
boy, that could take this scenario in a whole different direction.
Terror in the bedroom.
San Los.
I shoot him.
As the night passes, can I get everyone to make listen rolls? Except for Mr. Harrow and Mr. McTavish, you can make your listen rolls at half.
Oh.
Miss Brown is no.
Negative.
Fail.
Okay. Major Barker, sometime in the wee early hours, you hear from down the hall a woman scream.
Oh, dear God. I will get up and put on my dressing gown and wander down the hallway. Is this coming from the direction of Abby's room?
Yes, you did hear it coming from Abby's room.
We'll go down and knock on the door, and I'll see if I can hear anything else as I get closer.
As you are walking down the hall towards Abby's room, as you kind of get to the door and you're just about to knock on the door, you also see Isaac stumble out of his room, and he looks, you know, he's kind of wide-eyed. He's kind of sleepy, but kind of wide-eyed. He's trembling a little bit.
Did you hear that?
That nightmare. Oh, that is Abby. Abby, are you okay? Oh, yes, I'm. Oh, I just had. And a moment later, the door opens and she's kind of there in her dressing gown. Oh, Andy, Uncle Andy, I'm sorry. Did I wake you? I just had this horrible nightmare.
Did you seem like you both had a nightmare?
Isaac, are you okay? It's, you know, they kind of fall into that. Oh yes, I'm okay. Blah blah blah. You get the feeling that they both had. Oh, that's just nerves from the wedding. Yes, dear. These things happen. We're just nervousness of the bride and groom.
Anything in particular you were dreaming about?
Would you like a glass of milk, Abby? Let's go downstairs and get some. Yes. So they kind of go downstairs. They invite you to come with them.
Mm-hmm.
Major Parker.
We'll follow.
And Isaac pours a couple glasses of milk, one for himself and one for Abby. Uncle Andy, it was horrible. I was at the wedding and we were in the church, and everything was just so wonderful, and Isaac was there, and he looked just so handsome in his suit, and you were there, Mr. Harrow and Professor Cromworth and Miss Brown and Mr. McTavish and all the rest of the family was there, and the Father Peterson was conducting the ceremony, and then everything was perfect, and then just suddenly coming up from out of the floor were these huge, they looked like trees, but they had these huge mouths and teeth, and they started to kill everyone, and there was, and she just kind of, at that point, falls apart, kind of shaking and crying a little bit, and Isaac gets up to her and comforts her, and would you make a psychology roll?
Halfway across the room. That is a success as well, yes.
Okay. Isaac looks... Obviously, he very obviously, you didn't need a psychology roll for this. Mm. He looks shaken, because as he said, he had a nightmare too. And he looks concerned for Abby. There's also something else that you kind of notice a strange kind of shock or recognition kind of come across his face as he's trying to comfort him.
Isaac, did you have the same dream?
It must just be because we've been in the same house, the same village, in some the same church. I would have to say that's exactly what I dreamed as well. It was horrible. He'd be eaten by trees in the church.
Can I get one of them to describe a tree to me, sort of?
You can, but that's about all the description you get.
Trees
with mouths and teeth and sharp teeth and lots of mouths, but the trees were like walking, and that's about all they're able to.
That's bizarre. It doesn't. Well, okay. No, I won't give them the third degree right now. I'm sorry. I hope you get back to sleep, and we can. Everything will be okay in the morning, I'm sure.
Oh yes. It was just a nightmare. Just a nightmare. Back to bed. So they kind of finish their milk and make their way back up to their rooms. And Isaac sees Abby back to her room. Goes back to his room, and the doors close, and presumably they go back.
How peculiar. Okay. Do I? I have a bit of one of Major Barker's hobbies is reading trashy occult books. Has he ever heard of such things before? Is this doesn't really.
You may make an occult roll.
Occult. That would be 90. So no.
No.
Okay. Hmm.
No.
Trees with teeth. Cough. Young people these days. I wander back to bed.
Okay. The rest of the night passes uneventfully. Morning.
How old is this couple, roughly? Are they 20s? Or?
How old are they? Let us see. Abby is 22. Isaac is 21.
Oh, cute. Okay.
Morning dawns.
Say, wake up and get some black coffee a-brewing for everyone.
As everyone kind of individually wakes up, you can hear, you know, the smells of a cooking breakfast.
Lovely,
perfect.
A good, you know, a good robust English countryside breakfast wafting up from the kitchen.
Excellent. Ooh. Yes.
And come on.
As you make your way to the kitchen, presumably, yes. You can see Abby is kind of bustling around the kitchen.
Can I help Abby?
Oh, Miss Brown, yes, please, if you wouldn't mind getting the table set for everyone, that would be lovely.
Absolutely. The dishes are over there.
Yes, in this cupboard, and yeah, she kind of indicates where everything is.
Okay, I will ignore my former knowledge of all that and at the table.
I will come down and have a cup of something hot that is offered to me.
I show up, but I am in pristine condition, as in, as if nothing would have happened last night. Like, fully groomed, shaven, everything, the works. And I just walk down, and I sit silently.
Oh, Mr. Harrod, Bruce, did you have a good night?
I had a fantastic night. We enjoyed our company thoroughly last night.
Oh,
okay. Mighty good whiskey you have in the breweries here.
Oh, well, I'm sure Arthur appreciates that.
Mm. I smell lovely, lovely food.
Oh, yes. Breakfast will be on the table in just a moment.
Fantastic.
Isaac shows up and he kind of kisses Abby on the cheek and, you know, starts helping himself to coffee, settles in at the table, that sort of thing. Breakfast is eventually served, passes with light conversation. So I thought I need to go buy honey this morning, of course. if you would all like to come with me, you're more than welcome. It's a nice little walk to Mrs. Artley's place. And then I thought this afternoon we can take a walk in the marsh. It's, as I said, it's very beautiful.
That sounds lovely.
Yes, indeed.
Ooh. I'm going to say that I don't quite feel up to that today. I sort of gesture to my dodgy lungs and say that I might just stay behind and do a bit of reading.
Well, Major, that would be very sad. You should really join us.
I will make
the gentleman. Plenty of time for that later.
I will make the gentleman some company. I do not really feel like going through the marshes just now.
I roll my eyes.
Well, that's unfortunate, you gentlemen. We'll be missed.
So eventually, you know, breakfast ends. The dishes are cleaned and put away, that sort of thing. Abby invites you all to come with her to buy some honey.
All right, at Mrs. Hartley's.
Yes.
Can help you bring it back from there?
Can't think of anything I'd rather be not doing.
It's kind of mind-numbing.
Once they leave and they're sufficiently far away, I will try and give the American drunk captain.
I'm not drunk.
Well, not drunk as in your current state. That's more your occupation currently. Try and give
damn
him
you
slip.
And your British accent. Talking on slug. Okay. Mm. Mm-hmm.
So is it only Major Barker and Mr. Harrow who are staying behind in the morning?
Oh, I believe the professor is also going to stay behind. He's awfully tired.
Yes, yes, Professor Cromworth is still in bed. He's not feeling well.
I have the image in my head that he's sort of a 97-year-old cripple, but oh well.
But when he suddenly stands up out of the wheelchair and pulls out a shotgun, we will all be impressed.
Okay, so those of you who are going, so Mr. McTavish and Miss yes. Brown. Mm-hmm. You walk with Abby out of the house, and kind of through the village, and there's a little footpath and to a small house that's kind of situated out away from the village a little bit. As you get close to the house, as you get come up to the house, you can see there's a small sign. That says Shelburgh honey from our own hives since 1846. And Abby walks in, and in the front room of the house, you can see it's set up as a little shop. And there's a number of, there's just dozens and dozens of jars of honey. And they all have kind of the same label as the sign outside, Shelburgh honey from our own hives since 1846. And an older woman, in her late 60s, kind of walks out. Abby, dear. Oh, so good to see you. Oh, Florence. Yes, I need, can we get half a dozen jars of honey? And she says, okay, no problem. And kind of busies herself collecting them. And Abby kind of leans over and whispers to Miss Brown, I don't really think we'll need half a dozen, but we're new here, so I want to make sure we're on good... Keep good relations with the locals, that sort of thing.
Yes, I understand. It is a quaint business here. Where did you all live before you came to this town?
We met in London.
Oh, London, very nice, yes. That's exciting.
So Mrs. Artley kind of, put some bags of, like two jars each, so you can each carry a bag, that sort of thing. And hands them over, and... says it'll be this much, and Abby hands over that much. So are the preparations for the wedding going well? Going well, dear? Oh, yes, everything's going fine. Miss Brown here, and this is my cousin, Mr. McTavish, and my Uncle Andy is here. He stayed back at the house with another cousin, Bruce. And they're here to help out with the wedding. And so, yes, everything's going fine. They chat for a few minutes. And then you leave.
While they're talking, can I kind of talk to Isaac and feel him out, see how he's doing, see what other things he has to do for the wedding before the wedding? Other stuff he has to get completed?
You could, but he didn't come with you.
Oh, okay.
Right. Is there anything for sale in the shop other than honey? Like, does it sell knickknacks or anything like that, or just straight honey?
She sells honeycomb.
Okay.
Honey and honey accoutrement?
Yes.
Right. A honey spinner, maybe? I don't know. Okay.
Is there something in particular I can help you find, dear?
Oh, I was just looking around. It's a lovely little shop you have here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Just looking to see if there was a present I might bring back.
Oh, well, you can... jar of honey.
Yeah. Wow. That would be lovely.
Oh, is this for your husband, dear?
I'm afraid I'm not married.
Oh, I'm
She's
sorry.
For my brother.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm.
Thank you.
I hope you find a husband someday. It's it was wonderful being married for all those many years.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you lost your husband.
Ah, yes, just a few years ago. Just a few years ago. That's why that's why I moved here and bought this house from the previous owner who in the hives were all here, and it just seemed like a nice little business to have. So
oh, interesting. So who was this business predates you and predates your family?
Oh yeah, I'm not from here actually. I was just here on holiday, and saw the house, and the house was empty, and the hives, and you know, heard that the lady who lived here before was widowed as well, and she just, you know, kind of enjoyed her her last few years, you know, living here and selling honey, and it just appealed to me, so I thought I would do the same.
So you've only been here a few years?
Oh, yes, just 3 years now, I think it's been.
Fascinating. A little family business that keeps switching families.
Mm-hmm.
She chuckles. For out-of-town widows, I suppose.
Yes, has there been a long string of you? Or just the two?
I don't really know anything about... about before that.
Because your sign says since 1846.
Well, I'm sure there's been hives, and you know, certainly I have not been selling honey here since 1846. That was, you know, that sign was there when I moved in, so I just kept it. Seemed like tradition.
Okay. She's not an immortal witch.
Definitely doesn't hurt business.
Well, I was thinking, you know, 1929, it wasn't actually that long ago. I mean, it could have been her parents. She's in her 60s. That's fascinating. I hope you enjoy your time here. We certainly seem to be. We had a lovely dinner down at the pub last night, and Miss Abby is going to take us out to the marsh this afternoon, apparently.
Oh, wonderful. It's so beautiful out there with all the birds and the animals, and just it's kind of a stark beauty, you know, it's you know, very flat, but it's all the flowers and the birds, and it's a lovely walk. I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Well, when in Rome.
She kind of chuckles at that. Meanwhile, back at the house.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mr. Harrow, Major Barker.
I'll let Major Barker do the honors.
Do the honors of what?
Of saying what they're are you guys what getting, they're doing.
Are you guys getting up to anything in particular? Or?
I'm gonna sort of, you know, make my excuse myself from the breakfast table, go upstairs, do a few things in my room, and then basically try and sneak out on my own.
Okay,
that's fine. I wasn't trying to chase him around, anyways. I'm basically going back to my room to clean my guns.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's okay. Kind of like my thing.
So we will leave Mr. Harrow there. So, Major Barker, as you are out in the town, in the village.
I'm going to wander around the village and see if I can just talk to some local people. Or I'll probably be heading in the direction of the pub, which I assume is the center of local life.
Yep.
If I see anyone on the way, maybe I'll stop and introduce myself and have a chat. But otherwise, I'll just...
Yeah, you meet a couple of people coming and going, and you know, they're all happy to introduce themselves and stop and chat for a minute.
Mm.
And, you know, everyone is very friendly, and
I'll tell them I'm here for the wedding. And
as you say that, you know, kind of everyone, oh yes, Abby and Isaac, they're such a lovely couple. You know, we. Make an idea roll.
Okay. Yes.
You do notice as you were talking to people and they're you know kind of commenting on Abby and Isaac and the wedding. A number of it kind of strikes your notice because a number of people mention that there has not been a wedding here for a long time.
So if someone's just told me that, I'll ask them, what do you mean? How long is a long time?
Make a luck roll. So at that point you're kind of talking to an older gentleman. And says, yes, it's, mm-hmm. yeah, it's, let's see, let me think. The last wedding I can remember at St. Mary's was 1909, and even then, that wedding was canceled, so that didn't happen. Let's see, the last time somebody actually got married, Must have been before that. It certainly was. It was when I was a boy. Must have been sometime in the 80s.
The 1880s, blimey. Why ever not? I mean, what?
Well, local legend, you know, there's some people have claimed that strange things have happened in the church, and, you know, I'm sure you'll hear some people say that the church is haunted, but, there isn't anyone around here, certainly, who would willingly get married in St. Mary's. It's just, you know, it seems fine every other time, the rest of the time, but for some reason weddings just don't seem to work out there.
I guess there's no real subtle way to do this, so I'll just come out and ask him if there are any local legends about tree monsters with mouths.
He kind of chuckles.
With teeth.
Wow.
Tree monsters. Well, I don't know about tree monsters, but certainly we have big marsh like this, you know, there are, you know, he kind of gives you the wink and werewolves out on the marsh, but I don't think I've ever heard anything about tree monsters. That's a good one. That's a good one, sir. I'll have to remember that one.
Yes, I'll laugh along with him for a bit and then walk off with a scowl on my face. Okay. Interesting. I'm gonna head to the church, actually.
Okay.
After that.
As you are headed to the church, we will cut back to Abby, Mr. McTavish, and Miss Brown making their way with their jars of honey back to the house.
Okay. Exciting adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Watch out, one's gonna fall.
So you make your way back to the house. Abby kind of puts the honey away, and so would you like to go for a walk in the marsh? We can perhaps pack a little picnic lunch, and
that would be fun. Yeah, maybe we'll I can use some of this honey and make some sandwiches.
I'll go see if the other gentlemen are around.
Oh, that would be excellent. Yes.
Mr. McTavish, you find Mr. Harrow in his room.
Say,
polishing his weapon.
I would say, Mr. Harrow, or Captain Harrow, excuse me. Would you care to join us on this walk? We're making some lunch and heading out to survey the area.
Are you speaking to
Friend
me?
Sound
through,
is,
through my door?
I would kind of like knock and then poke my head
oh,
in.
Oh, okay. Okay,
and,
okay.
And then just kind of inform you what's going on.
Right. Yes, that will be lovely. Some fresh air will do me nicely just now.
Well, I guess you would probably have all your guns out that you're polishing and cleaning?
No, they're already out. You don't see anything.
Oh, okay.
I actually stop you, like, you know,
no, wait,
from actually walking all the way in.
Don't come in, I'm naked.
No, it's more like, I guess this is an old house, right?
Yeah.
Farmhouse. So if somebody, but back in the day, those type of shoes, they're not rubber shoes particularly, so you can hear somebody coming a mile away.
Yeah.
So basically, I kind of heard somebody getting close, and I just put everything away.
Not a problem.
Okay. So, yeah, that will be lovely, shall we?
All right. Yeah. Set on down. Have you seen Major Barker?
I unfortunately had not the privilege to spend any quality time with a major. He apparently just headed over to his room, as I did, and I can't really say where he's at right now. So, right. No.
Well, I would go
that's
not
a long way of saying no.
Awesome. I would go just knock on his door, see if he answers, which obviously he doesn't. And then head on back down to Abby and Miss Brown.
Well, the Major's not joining us.
I don't know where he is. He wasn't in his room.
That is too bad. I'm sure he would love a walk in the marsh.
At this point, Isaac comes in into the wherever you guys are. Presumably the kitchen as lunch is being prepared.
Yeah.
Oh, are we? Oh, lovely. Yes, I will certainly join you as well. It's a beautiful marsh. Lovely way to spend an afternoon. It's so peaceful and relaxing here.
So that is that sort of what you do here?
Walk in the marsh and be peaceful and relaxed? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. No, I'm not the only one with issue with this.
Yes. Unfortunately, it is left to the keeper to try to determine why Miss Barker and Mr. Martin are actually living here, and I neglected to come up with a good excuse, but.
They're apparently bird watchers, and they love
yes,
it.
Yes. They say some particular reason which seems completely genuine and and uninteresting to you that does not raise your suspicions at all in any way.
That's impossible. Come on.
<They're> falconry.
Whatever it is, I do a psychology roll on it.
Yes, they seem completely genuine. And at ease.
Excellent. Excellent.
So eventually Abby gets lunch packed and invites you all to take a hike. In the good
I will try to question her about why they chose this town and what sort of things attracted them and so forth.
She answers you in a very specific, pleasant, and completely non-suspicious way.
Okay. Excellent. And they've been here just a few months or under a year?
Just a few months. A
few months, okay. And where do you, shop? I noticed you had some newer furnishings and so forth. Is that all? You go back into London for those things?
Well, we go back into Rye.
Ah, okay. So Rye has some reasonable...
Yeah, there's some,
I guess I would know that.
Yeah, it's not a big town, but there's still some nice shops and that sort of thing there. So you guys go for a walk.
Excellent.
As you kind of head out onto the marsh, there's a number of paths. They're very, they're not marked, right? There aren't, big signs that say 2 miles to the, 2 kilometers to this and 1 kilometer to that and that sort of thing. But, there are, very obvious, well-defined, solid footpaths for you to walk along, and you just kind of wander out onto the marsh, and Abby and Isaac are kind of chatting, and there's birds singing, and you can kind of see lots of birds flying, and there's flowers, and it's it's a very beautiful early summer afternoon for about an hour or two until the mist starts to roll in, and very quickly becomes very, very foggy.
As in ridiculously quick?
As in ridiculously quick, yes.
Mm.
And very, very thick fog. And, Abby and Isaac kind of stop and they look around and say, wow, this, I think it's starting to get a little cold. Perhaps we should head back.
Definitely. Yeah. Does this happen often?
No, I don't recall it ever being, certainly not. This seems weird for this time of year.
Well, then we should make our way back quick.
Ah, yes. Well, let's head back. And you kind of walk for a little while, and you come to a junction in the path, and Isaac kind of, he looks to the left, and he looks to the right, and he kind of scratches his head, and he's very clearly not sure which way to go.
I can add to said confusion. Last time,
You can all make navigate rolls.
Yep. Nope.
I actually can, actually.
That's a fail.
Success.
Hey.
Mr. Harrow recognizes. Yeah, Mr. Harrow recognizes. Oh, yes, this, we came on this junction. We need to go this way. So you walk, a little bit more, and the mist is, very clearly very thick, and it's starting to get kind of chilly, and there's a dampness kind of hanging on you, and you're kind of starting to shiver a little bit. Obviously, you were, you came out kind of dressed for the summer weather, and and it's gotten a little chilly in this mist. You come to another. You come to another junction. Kind of look. We need another navigate roll, please.
Not fail. Fail.
And none of you recognize this junction, and you're not sure which way to go.
Damn it!
Go this way.
Can I check? Can I do tracking on our own footsteps?
You can. Feel free to roll a track.
Okay. 28. I get it. Yes.
You are quite certain that if there were footsteps to be seen, you would see them, but you don't see anything. You don't see any tracks going one way or the other.
Okay. Cool. So, no.
Strange.
Well, perhaps we should go, Isaac. Isaac kind of, I think we should go this way. He kind of indicates one direction.
Okay. If you have an inkling, you're the one that lives around here, or at least longer than we have.
And the sun is completely hidden. There's not even a little spot somewhere.
That is correct. So as you're walking along, you know, there's the marsh, and you can't really see anything, you know, other than the path in front of you and behind you and some trees that are, you know, some of the trees that are particularly close. At one point, as you're walking along, you come onto this tree, and Abby suddenly screams and kind of gives a start and a jump and runs smack into the tree, knocking her head into the tree and falling to the ground. And you can see she's got a cut on her head that's bleeding.
Oh, dear.
Wow. Isaac runs to her. Dear, what is it? What is it? And, you know, he's trying to comfort her, and, you know, he gets his handkerchief out and putting it on the cut on her forehead, and she looks quite dazed and disoriented.
That was. Was there anything weird about the tree?
Make a spot hidden roll.
Okay.
Can I help her with the wound? I have first aid.
You are welcome. Success. Okay, you are welcome to roll first aid, Mr. Harrow.
Yeah, I would give.
Okay, 36 success.
Okay, D3, roll a D3.
Oh, you caught me off guard there. 3.
Okay. Yeah, you're able to, take Isaac's handkerchief and staunch the wound up pretty good. No problems. She appears to be okay now. Okay. Miss Brown, it is a tree.
It's a tree. Yes. Excellent. Okay.
What was it, dear? Isaac says. Oh, that I just. The nightmare from last night, I thought I saw the tree just suddenly, it wanted to grab me, and I screamed, and I tried to run, and it was just that nightmare from last night. I couldn't find anything. Horrible. Let's get home, please. Let's get back.
Oh, did you have you have bad dreams last night?
Oh, yes. Both Isaac and I had a horrible nightmare last night. It was very disturbing, very disturbing.
This the same nightmare?
They kind of look at each other, and Isaac says, it seems like we did, but...
How very strange. That's,
Yes, strange.
Often a sign. Oh, dear.
And nerves for the, you know... I'm sure we're both just nervous about being married. And...
Oh, yes, I'm sure that's what it is. Maybe it was just the... at McTavish. Maybe it was just the noisy drunks coming in last night.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Smile. Yeah.
Well, come on, Abby. Let's try to get back to the house.
I'm kind of annoyed that he just pointed Abby. That out.
So you continue your way along the path.
Oh, I'm very charming. You wouldn't be annoyed at me.
Oh, I can.
So yeah, I think we would just start heading back or trying to head back.
Okay.
Further.
You come to another junction in the path and may make another navigate roll.
Okay.
Nope.
Ooh! Score, yes.
Fail.
Not fail, success. I got a 9. What am I talking about?
Okay. Yeah, you're pretty sure you've seen this junction before. So you're confident as to the proper direction to head.
Awesome. This way, gentlemen, and ladies.
Now, the women stay here, and
exactly, we're gonna stay here and have some tea. You boys go ahead.
You guys have the picnic basket.
So after walking for a little while longer, you come to another junction, and we make another navigate roll.
Okay, here we go. Nope, fail.
Yep.
I can't get two in a row.
But once again, you have absolutely no clue.
Fantastic.
Very mysterious. How many hours is this going on for?
You've been walking for a couple hours now.
Since it got foggy.
Yes. Yes. It is. You can't see the sun, but you can tell that it is
getting darker.
It is starting to get. It's heading in that direction. It's certainly not dark yet, but it's heading in that direction. Well, maybe we should just try to stay here and wait for the fog to clear and wait for the mist to clear. And
could you? I feel like people, mark trees and stuff in case we're walking around in circles.
Yeah, at the next junction we pass, I'll take out my pocket knife and notch a little something in it, indicating which direction we went.
And don't we have some? I don't know, a noisemaker or something. Surely we could call people from the village.
A noisemaker?
Like your voices? You do know, you would guess, given where you were when the mist started to form.
Mm-hmm.
You were a good 3 or 4 miles from the village.
Okay.
And given that you guys are completely disoriented and lost, you could either be right outside the village or you could be 6 or 7 miles away from the village by now. You really don't know.
I would like to listen for the chance of any vehicles driving somewhere around that we might hear.
Make a listen roll.
Quiet ourselves.
Everyone can make listen rolls if you'd like.
Okay.
Nope. Fail.
What was the lesson? Okay. Fail.
You hear nothing. It's very quiet in the marsh.
Very chilly.
Just the breeze. Well,
not dressed appropriately for this.
I think we should keep going. No telling how long this fog's going to last.
Okay.
At least it won't get cold if we walk.
Can I get 3 more navigate rolls from everyone?
Okay.
I'll mark the some tree or post near the junctions when we go past them.
I get 1 success from the 3.
Okay.
They're awful rolls.
Anyone else?
3 fails. 3 fails.
And Abby? Our hero?
So unless you guys can, particularly stop, you keep wandering for quite a while. It is definitely starting to get dark, and you are absolutely completely buggered lost. You have no clue.
This is embarrassing. I got navigation.
And on that note, we will cut back to Major Parker earlier in the day.
Brilliant.
Making his way to St. Mary's Church, I believe it was.
Yes. I'm going to do a bit of snooping around.
So, St. Mary's Church, it is a middling-sized church for a small village. The standard kind of cross layout with the tower and a church bell up in the tower and what is obviously a fairly old graveyard surrounding the church and just your typical English village church. Nothing that's out of the ordinary.
I'll wander in and have a look around. Just
okay.
Search around the place.
Inside the church, it is, you know, exactly what you would kind of expect. There are a number, you know, all the pews, the altar on one end, and the porches off either side. The tower, you know, you can see the tower with the church bell up in it, and ropes coming down, and so forth. You do happen to notice on one of the walls near the tower, there is a small plaque, a dedication plaque, 20 centimeters by 40 centimeters. It is brass. Make a spot hidden roll.
Okay. Yes, success.
Okay. The border of the plaque, you can see, looks like it is a intertwined kind of a Celtic knot sort of design with some pentagrams worked into it. And
okay.
In fact, it looks like this. Just a moment. All right. Church plaque. There we go. Once you get this file, it looks like this. The dedication on it reads, there's a line at the top that reads, "This plaque is dedicated to the memory of all those unknown whose sacrifice maintains this holy place." And then below that, in a different script, it reads, "Consider the tale." And you notice that tail is spelled funny. It's spelled T-A-Y-L. "Or never learn. She'll eradicate what Alfred owns, but the best part remained. The river meanders on and on."
What the bloody hell does that mean? Okay. Is the parish priest around?
As you are studying the plaque... a young man in priest's robes walks in, comes into the church. He's a very well-built young man, you know, kind of stocky, solid-looking. In fact, you notice blonde hair, gray eyes. He would be fairly handsome, but you can tell his nose has been broken at least once. Good afternoon, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, Father. I'll introduce myself. Major Andrew Barker. I'm the father of the uncle of the bride-to-be.
Oh, yes, Abby's uncle. Wonderful. She told me some family members would be coming to help with the preparations. Reverend Peterson.
Oh, nice to meet you.
He looks like he's in his late 20s.
Okay. Oh, he's quite young. How long have you been the priest here?
Not very long. In fact, I have only just a few months ago I took up this post.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Looking forward to performing my first wedding here. This is always kind of a momentous event. First wedding to officiate. Abby and Isaac are such a nice young couple.
Yeah, so I had some interest in facts about weddings in this village from some of the local people. I was told apparently the last wedding was over 20 years ago.
Oh, well, I wouldn't really know anything about that myself. Obviously, I haven't been here.
It's a little unusual.
Well, you know, sometimes I understand the previous priest, Reverend Mitchell. A bit of an eccentric fellow, I think. And I never met him. He had left before I got here, but. You know, when somebody's been around for a long time, you get a bit eccentric, and I'm sure that's all it is. I'm sure.
Hmm. Right, can you tell me a bit more about this plaque? This rather cryptic inscription on it.
Oh, I noticed that myself. I haven't really had a chance to look into it yet. The parish has fairly extensive records, but as I said, I've only been here a few months. So one of the many things I've been meaning to look into when I get a chance. I don't really understand what it means either, but looks like it's been there for a while. So,
well, I'm a bit of an amateur historian myself. Is there any chance I could help you with such an investigation?
Oh well, our parish records are open. You're more than welcome to take a look through them if you would like.
Oh, that'd be very, very nice, very useful. And this Father Mitchell, is he still local?
Father Mitchell moved away. I believe he has moved to somewhere.
Mm. yes, I hear it's nice up there.
Yes. Wait a second. Ah, yes, yes. He has moved to Canterbury.
That wouldn't be too far away, would it?
No.
Okay.
Obviously, given the remoteness of Shelburne, it's not someplace you could get to, you know, right away. But yes, it's within. Yeah. You know, it'd be a day trip to go to Canterbury and back.
When I mentioned the weddings and I just want to get a read on what the Reverend, how did he react? Was he
blissfully unconcerned?
Okay, fair enough. Okay, well, he doesn't seem too interested in such things, so I'll ask him to show me to these records, and I'll see if I can have a look.
He does so. He takes you, into one of the outbuildings of the church where there's, all the paper records in cabinets, and there are, large books and so forth. It seems very neat and well organized, but obviously fairly extensive. And should I just assume you're going to spend the rest of your day browsing the?
Yeah, I'll spend. What's the time now? How late is it?
It's early afternoon.
Yeah. I figured it wouldn't be too. I'll spend a couple of hours, I guess, looking at wedding records, and then I guess I'll head back to the house and await the return of the others.
Okay, I will give you. You may make 4 library use rolls.
Okay. Okay. Success. Failure. Success. And almost a botch, but not quite. So 2 success, 2 fails.
Okay. You are, so as you're, this is going to take you the rest of the day and into the early evening. Mm-hmm. But as you're kind of browsing the wedding records, you are able to recognize that prior to 1846, there's nothing that jumps out at you. Mm-hmm. Since 1846, however, until today, there are a number of entries for weddings. However, all of them except for 7 are marked as having been canceled, except for 1 that occurred on the 18th of April, 1887.
Okay, 18.
The last wedding that was booked and canceled in St. Mary's was in 1909, and all of the ones that are marked as having been canceled have, kind of notes attached to them, right? So there's, wedding of so-and-so on such-and-such a date, and then, kind of after it, notes, one of them says, it was a complete mess. There's references to somebody being lost. There's references to, some kind of sad, something terribly sad happening. No details, just kind of, notes and general adjectives like that.
So since 1846, only 7 successful weddings.
Correct.
Lots of other bookings, but they've all been cancelled.
Correct.
And the last wedding, obviously before the one in a few days, was in 1909, and that also was cancelled.
Correct.
That was what the old man said anyway. Okay.
And the last successful wedding was on April 18th, 1887.
Okay.
Would you make two idea rolls, please?
Success and success. Yep.
Okay. Something else jumps out. Something else, you know, kind of strikes your notice. Of the seven successful weddings, in the case of five of them, there is a record very, very soon after the wedding. And when I say very soon, I mean like a month or two after the wedding, of a christening involving the same people.
Okay.
Can I assume you can interpret that yourself and don't need an idea roll to interpret that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think the phrase shotgun wedding is an American term, but
yes.
Yeah, sure.
you made both your idea rolls, right?
Yes.
Okay. You also notice that there is a reference. So there's an entry in the records directly after the very next entry after the wedding of April 18th, 1887, is a reference of a number of gravestones being sent for repair to a stonecutter's called Moore and Sons in Maidstone, which is another village.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. Gravestones. All right.
And that takes you to, like I say, it's evening, it's, you know, starting to, it's dusk, the sun is headed down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think I've exhausted my search of these records, but that's what I've...
Yes.
Found out now? Okay, right.
Yeah, okay. You imagine, well, you know, you would guess if you came back and you were able to spend some more time studying them, you might be able to. There's plenty more records for you to go through.
Well, this at least is more entertaining than a trip to a honey store. So, okay, I will. I'll make my way back to the house and basically see if someone's organized my dinner.
Okay. As you make your way back to the house, you find it empty.
Okay. It's late-ish now. You're saying. So I'll wait for maybe half an hour.
Okay.
Anything happen?
Nope.
Anyone turn up? I'll head down into town myself and get myself some dinner at the pub, I suppose.
Okay. You make your way to the pub.
We will sit by a nice fire and have a nice hot meal.
We will
a few drinks.
We will cut back to our group in the marsh.
So, as it's getting close to dark, I was thinking of making an idea roll or a no roll to see if I have heard about this SOS three shots thing, because it's from 10 years earlier from the war. But it's up to you if you want to not think that's an appropriate deal.
Actually, hang on. Sorry. Before we cut back to the group in the marsh, Major, as you're headed to the pub, would you make a spot hidden roll, please?
Oh, all the zeros.
Okay.
Well done.
Focused on getting dinner. Very, very hungry from a flat stomach. So we will go back to... Sorry. So back to the people in the marsh. Well, certainly Captain Harrow would know of this. Miss Brown, you can make a no roll at half.
All right. Well, I don't. So I will just pull out my cute little pistol and... shoot it up into the air twice, since that's how many bullets are in it.
Okay.
I fell out. I kind of get the drift of what's happening, or yeah, since I know what it is, right?
Yep.
And I shoot the last round.
Okay.
To make it, yeah, to make it an actual freaking SOS signal.
Forget. Bang, bang, bang.
Two little bangs and one probably louder one.
Yeah.
Okay. The gunfire echoes through the mist.
And then I guess we listen to see if anybody responds, if we hear anything from the village.
You can make listen rolls.
Deafened by the sound of the guns.
Yep, fail.
Yeah, you hear nothing.
Wow.
Oh, a fine walk this has turned out to be.
Yes.
Well, whose idea was it to go into the marshes?
I don't understand. This. I've been out here so many times before. I've never gotten lost like this.
Well, there's a first time for everything, isn't there?
Abby kind of settles herself and sits down on the path, and you know Isaac kind of sits next to her and wraps his arms around her, trying to keep her warm. It is starting to get chilly as the night falls.
Hey.
Well, we can all just hunker down. I'm sure we brought some blankets for the picnic, so they can use them for Abby and Isaac.
What about me?
and I'm sorry, and Miss Brown as well. Miss Brown and Abby.
All right, I will hunker up next to Abby there, her all 7 feet of her.
And, Jesus.
And how tall are you, Miss Brown?
Oh, I don't know, 5'4" or something.
Sort of. Wow. Midget sized.
So Abby's big spoon.
Right, exactly.
So okay.
A ladder to look over the fog or something.
Climb a tree.
We didn't bring our 10-foot pole.
Can one of you something? It's awfully chilly.
I'm not giving my trench coat this. I'm not saying this, by the way.
So I was going to offer to hold on to it for you while you made a fire, if you were worried.
Well, I do have a notepad and journal. I can rip some empty pages out of journal to start a fire if we can find some wood.
Yeah, we have matches.
Well, there you go.
That's a good use for your novel.
Well, just a couple empty sheets.
Yeah, coming up with wood is not a problem. However, it's all either green wood, from the actual growing trees, you know, or the sticks and branches that you find on the ground are pretty well sodden. And this is a marsh.
Right.
So who's going to, are you going to try to make a fire?
Yeah, I'll try and search around for a little bit of kindling or small sticks and stuff that might be dry.
Okay. Give me a party luck roll.
I'm at 65.
Oh, a success by 1. 84.
Who has the it's the lowest luck. So.
Oh, okay.
Captain Harrow, what's your luck?
I have no idea.
Pow times 5.
Pow times 5. That's pow, 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 pow. That was awful. I excuse myself for that. Okay. Yeah, I know. I was down to the fourth pow, 70.
Okay, so it is Miss Brown. And that Sorry, was a... Mr. McTavish, what's your luck?
85.
Yep, so Miss Brown.
18.
Okay, so you are able to get a small fire going. It is more smoke than flame, but there is a little tiny bit of heat. And so I presume you all are going to just hunker down and spend the night?
Yeah,
hunker down. I'm actually going to propose keeping guards.
Okay.
It is not safe to be out here. There's wildlife, I'm sure. We should probably just look out.
You and I could split the watch.
Do you have any more bullets? Because what are you going to do?
I don't have a gun.
Something happens. Who but had the gun then?
That was Miss Brown.
Miss Brown had the gun? Good for her.
Oh, and if you were thinking that you fired the third shot with her gun, you're mistaken. I assumed you had your own gun that you somehow pulled out and made the third shot.
That's exactly what I did.
Okay, good. Okay.
Right, so you have a gun.
Yeah.
I could use while you're sleeping.
Oh, you think I'm going to give you my gun?
Oh, But hey, you can, if you don't want to lend me the gun, that's fine. I can stay up with no weapon.
Jesus,
I'm perfectly fine. I can wake you up just as fast.
Okay, let me do the first shift. I'll wake you up when yours is up.
All right.
Isaac offers to help as well.
Okay.
If you would like, I'm
just gonna take the whole thing because I'm not gonna give anybody my freaking gun. Okay. That thing's killed more Germans than he's years old.
All right.
Okay.
So I'll assumedly fall asleep, expecting to be woken up for my shift, and
exactly.
Pleasantly surprised when I sleep the whole night.
Okay. We will cut back for a moment to Major Barker. You were able to get dinner in the pub.
Excellent. I will enjoy it.
Okay. You do.
I have nothing I particularly want to do apart from, you know, have a few drinks. I'm just sort of waiting for people to turn up. I assume this is where they would congregate.
Yeah, I mean, as you're dining, there's plenty of other locals around who are dining and drinking as well.
I'll try and engage a few of them in conversation, try and find out a bit more about the weddings, and I'll talk to them about the things I found out today, see if anyone knows anything about, if any of the particularly, the older members of the village know anything about some of these dates that I have written down.
For the most part, you know, you kind of hear the same things that you heard already. You know, that, you know, none of the locals would ever get married in St. Mary's. You know, the church is haunted. One kind of younger fellow tells you about an uncle of his who also served in the military, who came back and tried to spend the night in the church crypt once, but you know, ran out screaming after just a couple hours.
Why would you do that? What, it's like, oh, coming back. Okay.
Maybe I will have to investigate the crypt. Sounds like it could be interesting. Ran out
screaming. Good things happen in crypts. Always.
Always, yes.
Okay. I'll ask if anyone remembers the old priest, the Reverend Mitchell.
Oh yes, Reverend Mitchell. Great fellow.
How long was he the priest?
Oh, he was here for must have been 50 years at least. 40, 50 years, something like this.
Okay, so he might have remembered the wedding in 1887. I suppose that's an outside possibility. Did I get sort of a useful address from Reverend Peterson?
Yes.
If I wanted to, okay, so I could actually go and visit him if I wanted.
Yep.
Okay. I'll buy a few rounds of drinks for the locals who are chatting to me, and just try and get them to carry on chatting about such things.
Okay. The conversation pretty much continues in the same vein.
Okay. This is a much more pleasant evening now that that loud American and crazy Irishman's not around.
My ears are ringing.
I think to myself.
Yeah, my ears are burning.
I guess eventually I will, once it's relatively late, I'll wander back to the house.
The house is empty.
That's unusual. As much as I would like to go to sleep, I should probably. I do know that they were planning to go out onto the marsh.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Is there like a local police station or.
There is.
Such thing? Is it likely to be manned at this time?
Actually, no. You will, however, one of the fellows that you would have talked to in the pub is the local policeman. There is only one. It's a small village, after all.
Ah, lovely. Okay.
Sergeant Arthur Egglestone.
Okay.
You met him in the pub.
I will wander back to the pub and see if he's still there.
He is.
So what did you say his name was?
Arthur Egglestone.
Arthur Egglestone. Arthur.
Ah, Major Barker, back for another round, are you?
Well, it seems that Miss Abby Barker and her fiancé have not returned home from their walk on the marsh. I'm wondering if they are still out there, along with all the other wedding guests who have come down early.
Oh dear. One of the guys that he's sitting there with a couple other locals, and one of them pops up. Yeah, there's monsters out on the marsh that eat people at night, and a couple other people on the surrounding tables kind of chuckle and laugh at that. funny. No, don't worry, Major Barker. No monsters. He kind of gets up and takes a look outside. Well, it's too dark and foggy for us to go out looking for them now. But first thing in the morning, we can certainly organize a search and go try to find them. I'm sure they'll be okay, though. As long as they stayed on the paths, and they should be fine. As long as they didn't go wandering off into the marsh itself, that would be foolish.
Mm. Well, I guess I'm not going to wander up on my own. That would be stupid. So I'll see you at dawn, I suppose.
Yeah, so I suggest you head back to the house, and if they turn up sometime, that's great. Otherwise, me and a few will gather up a few of the boys, and we'll come over first thing and head out and see if we can find them.
Okay, I will follow his advice.
Okay. We will cut back to the party in the marsh as night passes. You can all make con times 4 rolls, please.
Con times 4?
Yes.
Okay. That's a fail.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Okay.
Success!
Those of you who pass... you're able to. The night passes. Uncomfortably. You're shivering. You're a little chilly. But you feel not too bad. Those of you who failed, you can lose 1 point of con.
Aha. Uh-huh.
As when you wake up in the early dawn, you're kind of shivering, a little sniffly, not feeling too well.
I just couldn't fail with my trench coat of war plus 1.
And you can tell that Abby looks quite bedraggled, and she's kind of sneezing a little bit and stuff. But as you all kind of wake up, Captain Harrow is presumably still awake.
Yes.
the dawn is just beginning to break, and you can see that the mist has broken. And it looks like a clear morning, and you can see the village just a couple miles off.
So we're not too far off from where we
were. Oh, it was right there the whole time.
Shall we? I think we've spent enough time in the damp for a lifetime.
Agreed.
I agree.
Start heading back.
Okay.
Get some breakfast.
You are able to make your way back into town and back to the house. As you arrive, coming out of the house, you can see Major Barker and Sergeant Egglestone and a few locals.
Oh, you made it back. Where the bloody hell have you been?
Don't ask.
The fog rolled in.
And launch the rescue party.
We just had a lovely walk through the marshes.
Gentlemen got us quite lost.
Oh,
are you okay, Abby?
Oh, I just need to lie down for a while and warm up, I think.
Yes, let's get you inside by a fire, and maybe a brandy is in order.
Or two.
And I think that will be a good place to end it for now.
Okay.
Excellent.
A little adventure, a little mystery.
Awesome.
Con loss.
Yeah. Yay.
I would have completely failed that with my con of 8, so I'm really glad I didn't go with it.
Well, now I'm your Con of Eight Buddy.
Okay, good stuff.
So it is, just to make sure we're clear on the days, it is now early morning on Thursday, June 6th.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
June 6th.
Yep.
Okay.
So, good stuff.
Excellent.
Are we doing same time next week, or?
Same time next week.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, that's good with me.
Awesome.
I should be around, hopefully.
I will not be.
Okay.
I would like to... Yep. Thanks for the patience, guys. I haven't done this for a long time, so any feedback would be positive.
All good. All good.
Roll low.
Thanks again for letting me join up with you guys. It was fun. It was awesome. Can't wait to see how this rolls out.
We're all going to die. That's how it's all going to roll out.
Well, good.
As long as we do it in style, that's the important.
As it has been written, so it shall be done.
You betcha.
Blazing.
Cool. Well, have a good week, guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Talk to you in a week.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Yeah, good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.